days. 'Cause no matter how far away you roam, if you long for the sunshine and the friendly games, for the holidays you can't be home, sweet home.
Time for another edition of Right at Home, brought home to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union, your community, your credit union. We are joined by local realtor, bon vivant, mad about town, entrepreneur, lucky dog, Matt Cargiolotti.
I'm pretty lucky.
You are.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm grateful for that stuff, too. You get to the end of the year like this, and in real estate, and man, I tell you, you really realize how much of a gamble this whole thing is.
So, you mentioned him reaching the end of the year.
Right.
And that means only one more wonderful time of the year coming up, and that means tax season.
Right, taxes. Yeah.
Taxes.
And
I'm not talking about the big spread down south there. Where
right.
Men are men, and well,
right.
Anyway.
Right.
No, it's Texas.
Where the stars at night are.
It's big and bright.
Right.
Got to do that, man. You got to do it. Sorry.
I knew that.
That's knee-jerk, man.
I knew you couldn't resist it.
That's just knee-jerk right there.
Oh, man. Jimmy.
All right.
Yeah, no, taxes. Taxes are, they're fun and wonderful and rewarding, right? And
Hey, I mean, pays for democracy, baby.
It's an incredible something. It's a lot of work. Taxes cost a lot of money, not just for the taxes themselves, but in their preparation and management and preparing around them. And it's interesting, like, how much of a piece of income that you have to plan around when you're actually looking, well, from a corporate perspective, as you look, right? You have to think about, like, well, that those taxes are, you know, a part of the price of doing business. So
right. That
has to, you know, run into your net operating income and try to figure out really where are we at after, you know, we kind of hit all those taxes. And so for people looking to, like, flip homes and things like that, people who have a corporate interest or an investment interest in real estate, taxes are key. It's a really, really important factor. So, for example, let's just say, and we're going to get into some other ones, but let's say you're looking at, like, a multi-unit apartment building, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that building could have 20, 30 units, but you have to figure out what the total expenses are over the course of the year. Well, taxes, property taxes, that's a big piece of that. And so if property taxes go up or down, that directly affects the net operating income of that property. And the more income that property makes, the more money it's worth, which is also kind of fascinating, right? So the more money it's worth, well, the higher the tax rate is. And so there's this constant, like, push and pull, right? Like this kind of tug of war, so to speak, kind of around the taxes as a variable and really what property values equal to determine taxes. So that's fascinating to me. I mean, but I'm a giant dork about that sort of thing. So, but taxes for, like, you know, I mean, most people who are listening are going to be really much more interested in, like, well, what do I have to worry about for taxes? You know, if I'm buying or selling my house, or what can I prepare for, or what can I use, what can I not?
Because a lot of times when you don't, if you're getting a mortgage, you don't even think about your property taxes, because that's all kind of schlepped in there, and you never even see it. It's just all part of your payment every month.
Right, and that's one way to do that. So, I mean, what you're talking about, Tim, is escrowing. Now, the word escrow comes up in real estate quite a bit. It can be really confusing to a lot of people. It just basically just means that money's being held, right?
Oh.
And so
I thought it was little snails.
That's right, right.
No, it's escargot. Okay.
Right, right. No, and they are delicious.
Yes.
Especially with a little garlic and a light Chianti in the evening. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So no, sorry, I couldn't resist the Hannibal Lecter. Escrow is when we're taking, like, our taxes, and quite frankly, probably usually our insurance for our purchases,
mm-hmm.
and put that into an account, and then that escrow servicing company actually makes those payments for you on your behalf. I mean, and it seems like they're doing you a favor, and they kind of are a little bit, right? I mean, they're basically, someone's just paying your bills for you every month, but I mean, you're still paying for it, just in one payment at the same time. But the reason that's done that way is because a lender always wants to make sure that, number one, the asset is secure, right? The asset being the property, the house, whatever the mortgage is for. And so if a tree falls on it, bingo, you know, insurance takes care of it. So they want to make sure that insurance is paid for without any lapse at all. And that taxes are paid for. So no, in Iowa, and other states may be a little bit different with this, the very first lien on your property is not your mortgage. And so liens have a proprietary, like, placing. And so for example, the first lien is always going to be whatever taxes are due. And the second is going to be the next best position on that property, which is a mortgage. And that's usually where they want to be. Anything else after that, you know, those other liens have to be paid prior to those, lesser ranking liens are paid. So that's why they do that. They want to make sure that your taxes are paid, because if your taxes aren't paid, well, I mean, the municipalities, county, state, whatever, can actually seize the property and sell it as tax sale. But then that puts that, you know, lender in a spot, right? Because it's like, oh no, this is scary. You know, I mean, crap, now what are we going to do, right? We're going to have to try to figure out a way to, you know, try to get that money back out of it, but you know, only after the tax sale, and what's ever left over can be pretty tough. So what they end up doing is making sure that your taxes are paid. So that escrowing, where that escrow management, like escrow, will actually take that chunk of money, usually that servicing company, will disperse that, you know, monthly or quarterly as needed, or whatever the payment arrangements is. I mean, for taxes, it's twice a year for property taxes, and then for insurance company, it could be once a year, it could be once every 6 months, depending upon whatever policy you set up. But now the other thing is like, well, you're doing your taxes this year and you're worried. Like, let's say, hey, you're selling your house, right? So like, Tim, let's say you're not, obviously, and I'm not trying to start a rumor or anything, but let's just say, for example,
who you've been talking to? what do you know?
Nope, nobody.
Okay.
But let's say your house is for sale and you sell it, right?
Right.
Now you lived in your house
for a big chunk of money.
Right.
As long as we're living in a fantasy world, let's live the fantasy.
Fabulous. Let's say your palace.
Okay.
Right.
That's right.
On the Thames. Right?
On the Bear Creek.
Sure.
The
banks of the Bear Creek. The Iowa Thames.
That's right.
And for sale and.
My palatial estate.
Right. You get an offer and you guys accept it. You move forward with that sale.
That's right.
At the very end, one of the last documents you get to fill out at closing as a seller is your 1099. Because the sale of your property can be considered income, right? However, and this is a wonderful thing. And people, whenever you think about this, this is a huge thing to thank, you know, the National Association of Realtors for. They're one of the biggest proponents of making this exist. Two of the last 5 years, if you live in that property as your principal residence for 2 of the last 5 years, whatever you make up to a certain dollar amount is tax exempt from any capital gains. And that is a huge, huge asset. So that's one of those things where that really changes the scope of a lot of things. Industry, housing market, I mean, that changes the scope of some small business. That changes how real estate works. If that should ever go away, that's a really important one to hold on to.
But do you still count? Does it still count if you roll it over, if you're buying a new place?
That's a little bit different. And within residential, it doesn't quite match up. It has to be for business purposes. And what you're talking about is something called a 1031 tax deferred exchange.
You're right. You are a geek.
You are
a tax dork.
I've actually had some time taking a class on that one, actually. Yep. Long enough ago, mind you, where it was with one of those overhead projectors where they slide things on.
Let me see.
What you looking at?
I'm looking to see if you have a pocket protector.
Oh, God. Here, we'll zip that up. That's an amazing thing. I mean, that can make a huge difference. There are people who will, this is what they'll do. They'll just, you know, buy a beat up house, move their family into it and clean it up and fix it up. And they're really good at it. They'll even, you know, they'll live in it for a couple of years, you know, once it's livable, and then put it on the market while they're living there, and, you know, have something else they've either already bought or getting ready to buy. And if they've lived there for two of the last 5 years, you know, whatever they make on that is, you know, tax free. There's nothing to pay. So that's a huge piece. That the two of the last 5 years is a huge, huge piece. It's just a capital gains piece that kind of cleans that up. The 1031 tax deferred exchange, like you're actually talking about, is something that you would see for like investment property. So let's say, for example, I was going to sell like one of my apartment buildings. If I sold that and I had another like kind, and then this is a gray area now, and that it's largely treated as a gray area, but like kind can just be, you know, anything that's used for the same type of business, but it's initially was intended to be like, you sell this apartment building, you want to roll that into another new purchase for another apartment building. Yes, we will not charge you taxes for, you know, whatever amount, as long as it's either that amount or greater. You see what I mean?
Right.
And then there's also some other ones. There's some other pieces like economic opportunity zones and things like that. The, you know, many cities work on. I think Grinnell may be working on something like that too. I mean, those type of things can also kind of sit in that same kind of realm. It's a similar kind of transaction as that 1031 tax deferred. That's getting right into the hard specifics of the minutia, which pretty much everyone's probably already fallen asleep at that point. So I'll just jump out of there. But the next piece is, well, let's say you sold your house and, well, maybe you paid too much for it. You know, maybe you did like a for sale by owner. You know, you're like, hey, this is great. I know I like it. You know, we're just going to buy it and fine. And maybe the research wasn't all that, you know, done very well on what its actual purchase price probably should have been. Maybe you overpaid for it. And now what do you do? You're trying to sell it. You have to sell it. You got to move, getting a divorce. You know, somebody died. Kids are out of the house, or you're having, you know, another two kids, whatever.
Cops are closing in.
Sure.
Feds are closing
right.
in.
Right.
Got to get on the line.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah. And so, you know, what do you do after that? Like, how, if you're underwater on it, can you be able to take some of that as a loss on your taxes? Quite possibly. So if you end up going into closing and let's say you even bring some cash, let's say you have not just negative equity, but you're actually negative cash on it. Yeah. You know, here's some real opportunities that you may really want to have some hard conversations with your CPA about as you make those choices to prepare for that. So, when you get to like some of the higher income folks too, who, you know, some of their jobs are, so like doctors, for example, are usually tend to be kind of you know, they'll end up having, you know, many multiple different income strains, right? And some of them end up being incorporated, right? MDs, or DOs or what have you. And if, once they have that corporation, of course, then that's a different way of kind of operating, right? Which is going to be more like a regular business rather than just as a human, you know, with a job or receiving a 1099 from an organization. But the way those kind of losses work are going to be different amongst different groups of people and different small business, different forms of small business. But taking a loss on something, absolutely. What about you buy that place? Right. What about, let's say you're one buying that property and your CPA is like, hey, did you buy a house this year and sell a house? And then you'd be like, oh, yeah. And I did. Is that helpful? And that CPA will be like, well, yeah, well, that's a big deal. Right. Because there's going to be some fees, some charges and some parts of your transactions on both sides that potentially you should be able to be writing off for your tax return that year. So, I mean, short story, the story short, folks, is if you bought a house this year, take a copy of your closing statement with you to your tax accountant when you have your taxes prepared this year. Number one, very important. And if you're thinking about selling and maybe you've only lived in that property for a year as your principal residence but you want to move up to a larger house, and you think your property is going to make money on the sale, because that's not always the case, of course, maybe you want to think about staying an additional year and having that deferred piece, right? Having that two of the last 5 years of you know, no capital gains for that chunk. And it can make a huge difference. I was able to take advantage of that once personally, and it was incredible. It was like, wow, this is huge. You know, this would have completely screwed up our taxes for the year. And now it doesn't. You know, it's nice and clean, and it's quite simple. So taxes are a part of business, even for, like, just, you know, someone who's just trying to sell a house.
Well, you're right at home with Matt Cargiolotti, brought to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union. Your community, your credit union.
University of Iowa Community Credit Union is the number one mortgage lender in Iowa. That's because they offer low rates, no 1% origination fee, and 100% financing. For residents living in Grinnell and the surrounding areas, they also have a local mortgage expert right in Grinnell. Aaron Black has 17 years of mortgage experience and is ready to serve you from their office at 705 6th Avenue in downtown Grinnell. Contact Aaron at 236-1801 or online at uiccumortgage.com to get started with your purchase and refinance mortgage loan. UICCU is an equal housing lender.
Back on Right at Home.
That's right. Here we are.
Yes, we are.
You know, wherever we go.
Here we are.
That's right.
That's right. So, waiting on final numbers for the year.
Right. And that's kind of, I was going to start preparing numbers, and I'm like, you know what, you know, we're pretty much at the end here, and, it's going to make more sense to kind of do a wrap after the first on this anyways. And there's some bigger analysis. I kind of want to look at this. My office numbers, I know those a little bit, and that's been pretty incredible. We had one agent actually, sell more than anyone in the history of Grinnell ever. That was pretty crazy. And then we also had some incredible production numbers. I think we were up almost 30%. But
wow.
Yeah.
Big numbers.
Really, really big.
Has the market died down now? Has it kind of slowed down now as we're approaching the holidays and the end of the year?
Yes, it has, to a point. Right. I mean, after this, I'm actually going to two back-to-back closings. But so yes and no. Our inventory is still really low. The total amount listed for Powashi County, I don't have that top of my head, but I do know that, and a little bit of Eastern Jasper, but I do know that all of Grinnell as of yesterday was 44, which is very, very low. It's the lowest I've ever seen for Grinnell's inventory.
44?
44 residential listings, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is low.
Mm-hmm. This year was a massive year for commercial sales in Grinnell, I think by my calculations we should be just as the city, I think it's probably just below 20 million, and so some really, like, big pieces of property have kind of conveyed within city limits, The county has had some of our rural properties have actually sold really quickly this year. Land sales has been largely dependent upon location and CSR points. I've seen some of those numbers be quite high and some be really, really low. Forest Reserve is actually fetching pretty small numbers this year. And CRP has actually been doing a little bit better. Straight recreational land, like, you know, just like a wooded chunk of land without really good access, you're not seeing very much value come out of those. I've seen those as low as $1,500 an acre, but obviously you can't go buy that, right? I mean, you need to, like, probably buy, like, the other 40 that comes with it. See what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, some really big numbers otherwise too throughout some of the CSRs. I think the highest I've seen for ag land was just below $9,000 an acre. And so, that was, like, up and into a transaction or about to be. So, the land otherwise that does sell around that stuff is going to be quite a bit different. You're going to see things like kind of like being sold, you know, to be parceled off for acreages or, you know, somebody who wants to build a house, a little homestead, whatever. And then whole hunting land, you'll see that too. If somebody parcels off just some of the Forest Reserve and maybe sells that off, then you'll start to see those numbers kind of actually climb. So this assemblage is the term, and that is the key part to the that land value, which is as much as possible and as diverse as possible, is a huge asset. But the more diverse it is, the more you have to have. So, yeah. But no, it was a great year, a fascinating year, a complete one-off too for real estate. Not like anything I've ever seen here before. So, technologies are going to be changing quite a bit next year. There's going to be a lot more artificial intelligence within our search, our searches. I mean, there make no illusion about it. I mean, put your tinfoil hats on, folks, because they are watching and they know what you're looking at all day long, and they keep track of you. They keep track of your IP. They keep track of your, your logins, everything that you do. If you don't close those apps, they're watching everything, all the other ones at the same time, and making predictive analytics based on those. I think that we're going to start seeing how real estate sales actually, that'll start influencing real estate sales. I think probably around the last couple of months of next year, I think we'll end up with a slightly different industry, which is kind of what we end up happening, every year anyway, but it's a constant adaptation.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't see you before there. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, man.
Yeah. And,
ho, ho, ho.
We'll do it again next Friday.
After
Christmas.
Right.
Okay.
The post-Christmas?
Post-Christmas, look into the future.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Put my visionary hat on.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the X-ray specs and the...
Right, I could do that.
Yeah.
I'll make you a tinfoil hat and we'll have a...
Lovely, right? We'll do that. Yeah. And that'll do it for this edition of Right at Home, brought home to you by University of Iowa Community Credit Union, your community, your credit union. For Matt Cargiolotti, I'm Tim Dill for 1410 KGRN.
Oh, there's no place like home for the holidays. For no matter how far away you roam, when you long for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can't beat home, sweet home.
Good morning. It's December 21st, 2018. This is